Unity.com.
Good morning, everyone. Back this last fall, I got a phone call, and I thought I recognized the number. You may have had this happen to you a time or two as well. Thought I recognized the number, but when I answered it, it was an automated voice saying, "Hello, we've been trying to reach you about your vehicle's warranty." Sound familiar? Yeah, you've heard that one, right? A few months later, it was, I think it was around December, January, I got another call. It was from an obscure town in Wisconsin, and I don't know anyone from that town, but I also had a daughter who was skiing, and I thought, well, maybe just in case something happened, I better answer it. So I answered it, and I heard a familiar voice. "Hello, we've been trying to reach you about your vehicle's warranty." I'm like, man, they got me. They got me again a few weeks ago. And I don't remember, I was thinking why I answered. I don't remember exactly what it was. I do know. I'm contacting a lot of soccer kids and parents, and I'm getting phone calls coming in that I don't recognize the number, and so I thought, well, I better take this, and I answered it. And it was a different automated voice, but it was the exact same words. This one was, "Hello, been trying to reach you about your vehicle's warranty." Now, there might be a legitimate offer somewhere on the end of that automated voice message or that conversation. I'm not sure. If I never really stuck around to listen to the details. But one, it's really annoying, isn't it? But two, we all get a call like that. We pretty much go, yeah, it's a scam, right? It's a scam. And it's not just phone calls. Of course, we get emails that are the same way. You've probably all gotten that email from that person in Nigeria or Zimbabwe or someplace like that who has money in a bank account that they want to transfer to you. All they need is your routing number and your social security number, and they'll be sure to send it right over. Don't do that, by the way. It's a scam. Then there are text messages. And I've been receiving these lately. I don't know if you know this, but I apparently won second prize in a drawing from Amazon. And I'm thinking, I got to be pretty lucky because, first of all, Amazon, that's like a big drawing. That's tons and tons of people. And second of all, I never entered that drawing. So I must be like the luckiest person in the world. But then I found out that my wife also got third prize and two of my daughters got first prize. So, man, what are the chances, right? It's a scam. It's a scam. Well, if you're listening here today, and maybe you are someone who's not a follower of Jesus, or you know someone who is not a follower of Jesus right now, you think about the resurrection of Jesus, and you hear about Jesus being the Son of God. You hear about Jesus being born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, on Christmas, and how he performed these miracles that are just hard to explain, and how he's lived this sinless, perfect life. And then he died on a cross, and as if that weren't unbelievable enough, he rose from the dead. And you might hear those things and be thinking to yourself, this is just too much. I don't know that I can buy this. It's a little too unbelievable. It can't be real. It's a scam. Jesus' resurrection is no scam. The details, it's interesting. Here's a couple of things to think about in Jesus' resurrection. The details of the timeline when the women, and the disciples went to Jesus' tomb, they can be kind of confusing when you're trying to read it from different gospel accounts and you compare them and you're like, wait, what? How did this go along? But remember, this was a time of confusion for all of the followers of Jesus. The Gospels are written from these varying perspectives. If you think about it, if it were a scam, if this was like all made up, they could have taken the time, got their story straight, made sure it all lined up. It's actually more believable, the fact that there's these different accounts. And wow, well, this person saw this and this person saw that. Another thing to think about in regards to the resurrection of Jesus is nobody expected there to be nobody in the tomb, right? Nobody expected there to be nobody. In Luke's account, we read that Mary and the other women came to the tomb and they were carrying spices. They were going to address Jesus' body on the third day. They fully expected that he was still going to be dead. I mean, why would they bring the spices if for some reason they knew he wasn't going to be there? You think about the disciples. They should have realized that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Why? Because he told them he was going to. He told them multiple times and even right before he was arrested. But in their account, in their accounts, they made it pretty clear, like, we didn't get it. Right? We didn't get it. Think about it. If it was a scam, why would you make yourself look that bad? I mean, you know, if it were me, I'd probably say something like, yeah, Jesus told me he was going to rise from the dead. Of course I believed him. You know, I knew he would come back to life. I never had any doubt. But that's not how it went down, right? They were shocked when his body was missing on the third day. Mark's gospel tells us Jesus actually rebuked them for their unbelief, for their hardness of heart, because they thought, well, someone must have taken his body. They didn't believe he was alive. Now, the authorities, the religious leaders, they knew better. Right? They knew better because they talked to the soldiers. And the soldiers, in Matthew's account, it tells us they became like dead men. And the angels, as the angel appeared, moved the stone away and that sort of thing. Right? When they reported what happened to the religious leaders, well, they paid them off. They said, hey, you just say the disciples stole the body. Now think about that. The disciples stole the body? Right. I mean, these same frightened disciples, most of whom didn't go anywhere near the cross when Jesus was being crucified because they were afraid they were next. They went out. They took on the soldiers. They rolled the stone away. They took his body out of the tomb without anyone seeing them and hid it somewhere where nobody would ever find it. These disciples, they weren't that clever. And they certainly weren't that brave. They didn't expect him to be alive. Now, here's the interesting thing, too. Well, if someone had found Jesus' body, that would have proved this whole thing to be a hoax, right? All they had to do was come up with the body. His body was never found. It was seen alive, but his body was never found. And by the way, why would these disciples do all this if they knew it wasn't true? And how come the religious leaders who concocted this story that they stole the body, how come they never interrogated them or questioned them about this missing body? Right? Because they knew that's not what happened. That's not what happened. There are these eyewitness accounts. Of course, the ones we read about in Scripture, and Scripture also tells us that at one time Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. Like, how do you explain that? Right? So the resurrection of Jesus, it isn't a scam. It really happened. It really happened. And that reality, the reality of Jesus' resurrection, changed everything for them. Think about it. It changed the entire outlook of the women who came to the tomb. They went there weeping in sorrow and in mourning. And they left marveling at what God had done. You think of the disciples, it changed their entire course of action. You know, they saw Jesus and they thought they had this plan. They were going to be part of this kingdom and this kingdom of God and reaching people with that. And they saw where this was headed, and all of a sudden it was gone. And they thought it was over. But as it turns out, they were just getting started. It changed everything for them back then, and it can change everything for us too. It can change our life that might feel like a tragedy into a triumph. It can change our fear into love. It can change our despair into joy. It can change anxiety into hope. It can change our rebellious hearts into ones whose greatest desire is to please God. It can change our guilt, our condemnation, into a celebration of forgiveness and freedom. It can change our spiritual condition We're no longer spiritually dead, but we're made alive in God, to God, in Christ. It can change our eternity. Right? Instead of facing God's judgment and wrath that he's pouring out on sin and wickedness, we can spend eternity at peace with him, with God, in his presence, filled with joy. Right? The resurrection is not a scam. It's real, and Jesus himself, Jesus changes everything, right? Jesus changes everything. Just as it changed them back then, it can change everything for us today as well. Now, if there's someone here listening online, listening to this message down the road, and that has not become a reality for you, that you have not put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that can become a reality for you. He wants to change everything. You simply ask him to be your Savior, right? The one you acknowledge that he is the Son of God who died on the cross and rose to life and conquered sin and death and offers forgiveness to you to make you right with God. Ask him to be your Savior. Trust him to be your Lord. And you can just do that in the quietness of your heart. He hears you. Just simply say that to him. He wants to come into your life, and when he does, it will change everything if you let him. If you let him. Because that's what Jesus does. And that's what he wants to do. Jesus changes everything. Now, it's Easter Sunday, and I realize that even as I say that, most people who are here today or who are listening online or who are at one of the, you know, churches throughout the world celebrating the resurrection this morning, probably 98% of us would hear everything I just said and go, yeah, I already believe that. I get that. I'm a Christian. We believe he rose from the dead. We acknowledge the resurrection to be true. We sing about him conquering sin and death. We nod our heads and we're agreeing with like everything that we're hearing this morning. And yet, for many of us in that group, the reality is that the resurrection isn't affecting us one bit. Hardly at all. Or on rare occasion. And here's the thought that I want us to wrestle with, think about this morning, kind of our key ideas. First of all, Jesus rose from the dead to bring us life. Right? Jesus rose from the dead to bring us life. That's what he wants to do. But for some reason, we often live like he's still dead and in the grave. Right? We still do that. It's like nothing ever happened. Well, I want you to hear this passage from Luke's gospel that talks about two of the disciples that encountered Jesus when he was risen. And this is a great passage. It's Luke 24, verses 13 through 32. I'm going to read it. It'll be on the screens for you. You can follow along in your Bibles if you like. But Luke 24, starting at verse 13. It says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?'" Like as if he didn't know, right? "And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?'" I mean, you can just pause and think about the irony of that. Jesus, like, yeah, I know. "And he said to them, 'What things?'" It's like, I'll humor you a little bit. "And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? When these men encountered the risen Jesus, it set their hearts on fire. It set their hearts on fire. Did not our hearts burn within us? They said to one another. Let's ask ourselves that question this morning. Is our heart burning within us at the reality of the resurrection? Is our heart burning within us because we've truly encountered the risen Jesus? Now, again, kind of this main point, Jesus rose from the dead to bring us life. We often live like he's still dead and in the grave. But here's the thing, if we've encountered him personally, it should be changing us too, right? If it's not changing us, then, well, that's kind of a problem. It's a problem if we aren't growing more compassionate and loving toward our wife, toward our husband, toward our kids, toward our friends and family and neighbors, coworkers, acquaintances. It's a problem if we aren't living any differently, acting any differently, speaking any differently than those around us who don't know Jesus like we supposedly do. It's a problem if we have the same priorities and values that everyone else does who doesn't believe. It's a problem if we aren't forgiving those who have wounded us, even though we've received this incredible mercy and forgiveness that Jesus has shown us. It's a problem if we aren't clinging to the hope that Jesus offers us. It's a problem if we're still chasing after dead things, worldly things, false hopes that aren't going to last. It's a problem if we aren't willing to lay down our earthly treasures for the sake of building his kingdom. It's a problem if we aren't doing all that we can to reach those around us with the hope of the gospel. Look, if the resurrection is real, it should be changing us. It should be changing us. If Jesus isn't seriously affecting how we live our life, then this faith that we supposedly have, it isn't real. It's fake. In other words, it's a scam. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is the scam, but maybe our faith, maybe our life, maybe our claim to be a follower of Jesus, maybe that's the real scam. Jesus rose from the dead to bring us life, but we often live like he's still dead and buried in the grave. But look, Christianity isn't really about some idea or belief. I mean, that's part of it, but it isn't about that. It's not about our doctrine and theology, what we think. It isn't about a bunch of rituals. It isn't about going through the motions and going to church or those sorts of things. It's about experiencing Jesus firsthand, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus did. Resurrection, like the video showed, it's not just about one day. It's not just about Easter Sunday. It's supposed to be an everyday thing. And so let's let this question be the thing that kind of, that we wrestle with this morning, and that we think about this morning, and that we long to answer in a good way. Is our heart burning within us because we have encountered the risen Jesus? Is our heart burning within us because we have encountered the risen Jesus? course, our prayer is that it is. We're going to close our time with a song or two of worship, and this next song is one that we've done numerous times here at Portico, and we've done it for a while. It's called Everything and Nothing Less. What I want us to kind of reflect on, to desire in the depths of our heart this morning, is that we would allow the resurrection of Jesus to change everything in us, that we're willing to surrender all of who we are, that we're willing to say, look, Lord, everything I have, all that I am is yours. Everything, I give you everything and nothing less than that. Because that's what you deserve. That's what you want. You want to change everything in my life. And I want my heart to be burning. I want my heart to be burning within me because I'm encountering you. Not just today on Easter, although I hope that's happening for you this morning as we worship and we hear his word, but also each and every day that we are looking to be with him, that we are looking to connect with him, that we are allowing him to stir up a passion in our heart that longs for us to just want him, to surrender all of who we are. So let's stand together. We're going to pray and we're going to worship together this morning as we close our time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you for what Easter is about, what we celebrate this morning and what Jesus did on the cross, rising from the dead, having victory over the grave, victory over sin, and allowing us to be made right with you. We are so grateful for that, but we don't want this just to be a today thing. We want this to be an everyday thing. We don't want this just to be a little part of us that we're giving to you. We want to give to you everything, all of who we are. We want to surrender it all. And Lord, this morning, we just proclaim we want to give you nothing less than that, than everything, because that's what you want. And we pray that as we do that, that you be changing us, that you be changing us into who it is you want us to be. We surrender to you. We give our hearts to you. We worship you with thanks, with praise, with adoration, with love for what you've done. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Let's say this together. Everyone said, amen. Let's worship as well.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.